usually try to lighten my load when I come up here, but I think I'm going to need every Bible I got today. Amen. So why don't we first of all pray and ask the Lord blessing on his word and on this worship service today. Let us pray. Now, righteous Lord, our God and Father, we thank you so much, O God, for your goodness, your grace, Lord, and for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God that was given, vouchsafed for us, given, distributed to us, O God, and your faithfulness in dispensing it to us. Of all thy mighty and wonderful and gracious workings that thou hast wrought for us in the annals of eternity, and Lord, you manifest and reveal them to us in time. We thank you, Lord, for these that are here gathered today, this multitude of minds and hearts and ears, praying, O Lord, that thy will be done. You give illumination where you've deemed illumination, understanding, O God, comprehension, Savior. And Lord God, subdue and have thy way, for thy will be done, and we'll thank and praise you. Speak, Lord, through this thy servant, thy vessel, and have thy righteous way that hearts and minds may understand. We ask this in Jesus' name for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. We certainly praise God for being with you today. And I have a special delight today. One of my former, I'm retired now, but one of my former co-workers saw fit to come out and visit with us today. This young lady sitting in the middle here, Miss Donna Crouch. And Pastor, you know, I've spoken to you. This is the young lady whom the Lord has gave a listening ear whenever I want to unload some grace, some grace talk. Amen. At least she gave a listening ear. And we certainly praise God that he's called us and seen fit for you to be here today. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Romans, the 9th chapter, and the 24th verse. Romans, the 9th chapter, matter of fact, the 22nd through the 24th verse. And I just want briefly state, quote, these verses to whet your appetite for what we are going to speak regarding today. Romans chapter 9, verses 22 through 24. We're going to ask Elder Liverman if he'll be our designated reader. I think he's already ready, has the mic in hand. Elder, why don't you read first from the King James Version, and then from the interlineal Greek text. In exegeting and expounding the Word of God, we need all the help we can get. Amen. And God has given us those helps. And we have the interlineal Greek text because the Bible, what we call this portion, what we call the New Testament, but really in which is the New Testament and the Grace Testament. In this part, we call the New Testament. Mm-hmm. Amen. And it was written in Greek. It wasn't written in English. That was hundreds of years, centuries before the English language, as we know it, was ever really devised. Mm-hmm. And so it was written in Greek. So if you want to get to the truth of a matter, go to its most basic content. And in this case, we're going to the Greek language as well, as other helps. Elder, if you have that, Romans 9, verse 22, read first from the King James Version.
Romans chapter 9, beginning with the 22nd verse.
Mm-hmm.
What if God, willing to show his wrath, and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering,
mm-hmm,
the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction.
I wonder if many of us got that. Endured with much long suffering. You know how you put up with someone or something. Endured with much long suffering, the vessels of wrath that were fitted to destruction. Read on, Ella.
Verse 23.
Mm-hmm.
And that he might make known the riches of his glory.
The riches of his glory.
On the vessels of mercy.
Now, I know we understand that there's a great difference between wrath and mercy. The vessels of mercy that what?
Which he had afore prepared unto glory.
Which he had afore or previously or before prepared for glory. Great difference, ain't it? Vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. Vessels of mercy prepared previously for glory. Oh, I want to get that in there, Pastor. Oh, yes. All right. What does verse 24 say, Elder, from the King James?
Even us.
Even us. Even us. Mm-hmm.
Whom he hath called.
Uh-huh.
Not of the Jews only.
Not of Jews only.
But also of the Gentiles.
But also of Gentiles. Now, let's have that from the interlineal Greek text, Elder Livman, if you will. Verses 22, 23, and 24.
Romans 9.
Again, listen intently. It's going to read a little differently, but you'll be able to discern, I believe, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, the same, if not more, that is handed out or given out. All right, Romans 9, 22, Greek and a lineal text, 22 through 24, Elder. Okay.
But if wishing God to show forth his wrath, and to make known the ability of him bore in much long suffering vessels of wrath.
Yes.
Having been fitted.
There it is. The aorist tense is coming through.
For destruction.
Having been fitted for destruction. Aorist tense is a past completed act. Not a past begun act, but a past completed act. The aorist tense. We're going to use that much today because it's in Scripture. Amen. It's in our gospel. It was written in and contained in our gospel. Read on, Ella.
And in order that he might make known the riches of the glory of him on vessels of mercy, which he previously prepared for glory.
My God. If I keep on, I won't get where I'm trying to ultimately go. That's finished. Go ahead on, Ella.
Whom also he called.
Whom also he called.
Us, not only of Jews.
Us, not only of Jews.
But also of the nations.
But also of nations. Now, I want to put this thought in your minds, either the forefront, the middle, or the rear. God's sovereignty in election by or through grace in eternity. God's sovereignty. Pastor's just dancing all over this message today. He mentioned election before I got up, and before that, something else in the pastor's pen. I said, Lord, Holy Spirit, you're really ministering all around today. God's sovereignty. In election, by or through grace, in eternity. You don't say nothing unless you can back it up and prove it. And we are going to prove this today, that God is sovereign, for after we tell you what it is, that he has elected us, that election is through grace, and it was not in time. It was in eternity. Sovereignty. From the root word sovereign. Sovereign means supreme or efficacious. Don't fret. I'm going to tell you what it means. We're going to go through meanings all through here.
Amen.
We want to convey information and praying that the Holy Spirit will take that information and give you great understanding according to his will. Sovereignty, supreme or efficacious.
Yes.
Efficacious mean that you have the ability to produce a desired result. If you don't, you are not efficacious. Sovereignty means God's unlimited or absolute right in, over, or regarding His creation. All of it.
Amen.
God has an absolute right in everything, in everybody, in every circumstance, in every event, in every happening, in everything that's going down. God has an absolute right to convey His will, plan, and purpose in it, and He has.
Amen. That's it.
Amen. That's sovereignty.
Amen.
Next, we have election. We understand election. We just come out of it in early November. Election is the nominal form. It's a noun. It means choosing. Choosing.
Yes, it does.
The base form of election is elect. It's a verb.
Yes.
It means to choose. In its adjectival form, it's chosen.
Man.
Select or choice. I want this one. Not that one. Take that back. I want this. You made a choice.
Uh-huh.
God is sovereign, and He's sovereign in election.
Amen.
By or through grace.
Glory to God.
Amen. Grace means not only without merit, no merit. No merit at all, whatsoever.
Come on, preacher.
Merit is worth or deserving, or that you deserve something.
Amen.
Grace means no merit.
Amen.
No deserving.
That's it.
No worth. No value.
Amen. Glory to God.
God is sovereign in election, and His election is through grace, and it was performed not in time, but in the eternal realm. Praise be God. Now today, I want to primarily focus on the three words I just spoke about. Sovereignty, election, grace. And all of those are God's doing in eternity. Now I've spoken it, I got to show you that.
Amen.
And we're not going to show it to you denominationally.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to show it to you organizationally. We're going to show it to you scripturally. From the Word of God.
Amen.
God's sovereignty in election. In most of Christendom, these three words, sovereignty, election, grace, are hardly understood. They are hardly believed. They are hardly accepted.
Uh-huh.
And almost totally rejected. Or outright ignored.
Amen.
As to their scriptural conveyances and assignments and or their scriptural uses. I'm going to tell you what most of God's people. Now I'm going to keep God's people before you today. Before somebody run out screaming, these folk think they're the only ones right and nobody else is saved. We are going to be talking predominantly about God's people.
Well,
the world really don't care.
Well,
they don't care about sovereignty, election, and grace.
Right.
We're talking about God's people.
Well,
again, these three words, sovereign or sovereignty, elect or election, and perhaps the least and most misunderstood of all, is grace. Instead, in Christendom or amongst God's people, such as church denominations, religious organizations and affiliations, and religious societies, those that write our Bibles and do commentaries in our Bibles and the like. Religious societies, they have in their stead, in place of sovereignty, election, and grace. They have in their stead, for and in place of sovereignty, we have free will.
Well,
free will.
Well,
I'm a free moral agent. I do what I want. I choose God. They have free will. Instead of election, we have my faith or your faith. Instead of being chosen, we have our faith doing the job of acquiring our salvation. And we have our faith as determinants in things, that we determine things by our faith. We also have making a decision for Christ. And instead of and in the place of grace or the grace of God, we have things in their place to secure our salvation. Instead of being saved through grace, we have denominations basing salvation on baptism in water.
Come on, preacher.
In the various names and ways. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, in all kinds of ways. We have the sinner's prayer.
Come on now.
We have exercising your or my or one's own faith.
I hear you.
And we presume that our faith is innate.
I hear you.
That is, that is inborn, in person, or natural in us, and we just gush it out to grab hold of God or the gospel.
You're preaching today,
huh? And also in the place of grace, talking about God's grace, we have one so-called living holy.
Come on now.
Or living the life. Saints of God, the Bible say that there's none righteous.
Come on now.
No, not one. None. We understand what none means, don't we? He said, there's none that understandeth.
Amen.
There is none that seeketh after God.
I hear you.
Where's this faith that gets a hold of God? If the Lord don't choose us, if the Lord has not elected us unto salvation, according to Scripture, we would never seek Him.
I hear you.
There's none that seeketh after God.
That's right.
Every divine, every saint, every godly person in all the Old Testament, the New Testament, as we call it, God sought them out and revealed himself to them.
Amen.
Abraham was an idol worshiper of the Chaldees, heir of the Chaldees. I forget the first name of it. Thank you. Of the Chaldees. An idol worshiper. God sought him out. Amen. Adam, after he had eaten the fruit, he realized it was naked. He heard God coming. Went and hid himself.
Amen.
God came and sought him out.
I hear you.
God seeks us out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God's sovereignty in election through grace, and all of it was wrought by God, performed by God, finished by God in eternity.
Amen.
Now we're going to take Romans chapter 6, where I chose my verses from, and we're going to take verse 6 through 24. But first of all, I'm going to take it by the grace of God step by step today, because I want to build something here. And I want you to assimilate, take in the information by the grace of the Holy Spirit as we systematically, comprehensively give it to you. So I'm not going to rush into Romans 9, verse 6 right now. I'm going to corroborate in the Old Testament. And then we're going to come into Romans 9 and see exactly we should be in step of understanding what God is talking about.
I hear you.
We're going to show you, first of all, well, grace all the time, but we're going to look at sovereignty, God's absolute right,
that's right,
in choosing whomsoever uh-huh. he wants uh-huh. and has yeah. deemed to choose. Hello, Liverman, what's our first scripture there? Genesis what?
Genesis chapter 17.
Genesis chapter 17.
Verse 1.
And we're going to read verses 1 through 21. Now, bring it, if sovereignty, election, and grace were in the rear of your mind, bring it up at least to the middle right now, maybe to the forefront. We're going to show you again God's sovereignty, his absolute unlimited right in choosing whomsoever he would and did deemed to choose. Genesis 17, corroboration, bringing in testimony from other places to confirm and strengthen those statements in our gospel. We corroborating. This is corroboration. Mm-hmm. All right. Chapter 17, verse 1, Elder Liverman.
Genesis chapter 17, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
And when Abram was 90 years old and nine,
mm-hmm.
the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God.
Mm-hmm.
Walk before me and be thou perfect.
Yes.
And I will make my covenant between me and thee
mm-hmm.
and will multiply thee exceedingly.
All right.
And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying,
mm-hmm.
As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee.
Yes, sir.
And thou shalt be a father of many nations.
All right.
Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
For a father of many nations have I made thee.
Mm-hmm.
And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee,
mm-hmm.
and kings shall come out of thee.
All right. Now, verse 7, Elder Liverman.
And I will establish my covenant between me and thee,
yes,
and thy seed after thee,
and thy seed after thee,
in their generations, for an everlasting covenant.
Here we're going to get notice of the Abrahamic covenant. And what else in that verse, Ella?
To be a God unto thee.
To be a God unto thee.
And to thy seed after thee.
And to thy seed after thee. Specific election and blessing. All right, in the 12th chapter of Genesis, God mentioned to Abraham that he was going to give all the land that he walked and tread upon to him and his seed after him.
Yes,
he repeats again in the 13th chapter, and he repeats again in the 15th chapter, and here we are in the 17th chapter. The Lord is still telling this man whom he has chosen, who is an idol worshiper in Ur of the Chaldees, he told him to get out of there, unto a land that I show you. He said, I'm going to give it to you and your seed after you. Verse 8, Elder Liverman.
And I will give unto thee
mm-hmm.
and to thy seed after thee
uh-huh.
the land wherein thou art a stranger.
Yes.
All the land of Canaan. For an everlasting possession.
Uh-huh.
And I will be their God.
All right. So you got to be a progenitor of Abraham to have those and all the other earthly blessings that were promised to Abraham. What are we, preachers of God, people of God, running around trying to assign earthly blessings to us in the grace administration or dispensation Amen. When we are not the seed of Abraham?
Amen.
You know what seed means.
Amen.
As Brother Dwayne's and his wife's seed sitting next to them. I got nine of them. The seed after you. All right. Read on, Elder Liverman, read on. Verse 9.
And God said unto Abraham.
God said, Abraham.
Thou shalt keep my covenant therefore.
Uh-huh.
Thou and thy seed after thee in their generation.
Uh-huh.
Verse 10. This is my covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Which ye shall keep between me and you.
Yes.
And thy seed after thee.
All right.
Every man child among you shall be circumcised,
mm-hmm.
and ye shall circumcise the flesh
mm-hmm.
of your foreskin,
mm-hmm.
and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you.
Yes.
And he that is 8 days old
mm-hmm.
shall be circumcised
yes.
among you.
Uh-huh.
Every man child in your generations,
mm-hmm.
he that is born in the house
mm-hmm.
or brought with money
mm-hmm.
of any stranger,
mm-hmm.
which is not of thy seed.
All right. They shall all be circumcised. And that is why our Lord Jesus Christ, if you read the content of it in the Synoptic Gospels, he was circumcised the 8th day
yes.
according to the flesh. He was of the seed of Abraham. And also, the seed of Abraham had the right of circumcision. It was given to them, and that's why Paul got busy with those Jerusalem brethren, the Jews, which were coming down trying to teach the Gentiles that they had to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. They were not his seed, spiritually or fleshly. And Paul got busy with them and almost ran them back up into Jerusalem. Read on, Elder Liverman.
Verse
13.
He that is born in thy house,
mm-hmm.
and he that is born with thy money,
bought with your money,
must needs be circumcised.
Mm-hmm.
And my covenant shall be in your flesh.
How long?
For an everlasting covenant.
For an everlasting covenant. Yes.
And the circumcision,
mm-hmm.
and the uncircumcised man,
mm-hmm.
child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised,
mm-hmm.
that soul shall be cut off
mm-hmm.
from his people. He has broken my covenant.
That is why Moses' wife went out and took the knife and circumcised their two sons. Because Moses, in all the activity he was getting into, the Lord had put him into, he had forgotten to perform circumcision on those boys. If they didn't, end the story. All right, read on, Elder Liverman.
And God said unto Abraham,
all right,
as for Sarah thy wife,
yes,
thou shalt not call her name Sarah,
mm-hmm.
but Sarah shall be her name be.
Yes.
And I will bless her.
I'll bless her.
And give thee a son.
And give thee a son.
Also of her.
Of her.
Yeah, I will bless her.
90 years old.
And she shall be a mother of nations.
And she shall be a mother of nations.
Kings of people.
Kings of people.
Shall be of her.
All right. Now, let me show you what humanly thinking the absurdity of such a notion is. A 90-year-old woman, a 100-year-old man having a child. And then you're going to see why he called one the child of promise or the seed of promise when we get over in Romans. All right? Because God did it. God don't need the flesh no kind of way. He don't need us in salvation.
Amen.
He don't need us doing sinner's prayers, mourner's benches, getting baptized, speaking in tongues, doing nothing. He has saved us from eternity by grace. And he do not need us.
Amen.
What did Abraham do in verse 17?
Then Abraham fell upon his face
uh-huh.
and laughed.
And laughed.
And said in his heart,
mm-hmm.
shall a child be born unto him
mm-hmm.
that is 100 years old?
There it is.
And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?
All right. Where is this great faith of Abraham? God said, I'm going to give you a child of your old wife, you old rascal.
That's it.
And Abraham laughed. Where is this great faith that Abraham, the father of the faithful, was supposed to exhibit? It's not here. God said it. He didn't believe it. Read on, Ella.
Verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham said unto God.
Abraham said to God, like we always, we want to help God out. It's called synergism. Synergism.
Uh-huh.
Helping God save us. Again, either through speaking in tongues, getting water baptized, repeating the sinner's prayer, or whatever, confessing the faith, whatever.
Yeah.
We want to help God.
Uh-huh.
What did Abraham say again in verse 18?
And Abraham said unto God,
to God,
oh, that Ishmael,
oh, that Ishmael
might live before thee.
Now, you all know who Ishmael was. He was Abraham's first son by a slave woman of his wife. When she figured she was too old to go, she said, you take my slave woman and get children by her. We going to help God. You know, he needs our help. He was born 14 years before Isaac. So Abraham, in his humanistic thinking, and we do the same thing, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Because I can't do nothing. Read, Ella.
Hey, have mercy. Oh, that Ishmael 19. Might live before thee. And God said,
God said,
Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed.
Yes.
And thou shalt call his name Isaac.
Thou shalt call his name Isaac.
And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant.
With him for an everlasting covenant.
And with his seed after him.
And with his seed after him.
Glory to God.
Two sons of Abraham. Ishmael, firstborn, 14 years older than Isaac. God rejected him and said, you're going to have a wife of promise, the promise of God. You're going to have a wife, a son by your wife who is aged and your age. And I'm going to send my covenant from you through him, not that other one that was a child of the flesh. Finish that up, Elder Liverman.
Verse 20.
He's talking about the sovereign right of God in election or choosing whomsoever he wanted to choose.
Amen.
Read it, Elder. Finish it up.
And as for Ishmael.
As for Ishmael.
I have heard thee.
I heard you.
Behold,
mm-hmm.
I have blessed him.
I blessed him.
And will make him fruitful.
Yeah.
And will multiply him exceedingly.
Uh-huh.
12 princes shall he beget.
Yes.
And I will make him a great nation.
I'll even make him a great nation.
Amen.
What? 21.
But my covenant.
But my agreement, my contract, my covenant, what?
Will I establish with
will
Isaac?
Will I establish with the child of your old age, the child of promise, not the one that anybody could cause to come into being as long as you got a younger female. I'll establish my covenant with him and what? With Sarah.
Which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year.
Now let's go back to Romans. I wanted to whet your appetite and understanding with that corroborative information and a corroboration showing that God chooses whomsoever he will choose.
Amen.
And he rejects whomsoever he wants to reject. So when I get down in our gospel and you hear something that don't seem so palatable to your taste or your ears, you won't gag and say, oh, my God.
That's it.
You will have already seen it and been prepared for it.
Amen.
Elder Liverman, Romans 9, begin at verse 6.
Romans 9.
Everyone have it.
Verse 6.
Let's give everyone a chance to get there. Everyone have it. Please say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let it fly, Ella.
Not as though the word of God had taken none effect.
Mm-hmm.
For they are not all Israel,
They are not all Israel, which are of Israel.
Come on now.
Verse 7, Elder.
Neither because they are the seed of Abraham.
Neither because they are the seed of Abraham, meaning he begat them. Are they what?
Are they all children?
Are they all children?
But in Isaac shall thy seed be called.
Neither because God created, made, called into existence everybody in the earth, are they all his children. They are not.
Amen.
Read that verse again, Ella.
Neither because they are the seed of Abraham.
Uh-huh.
Are they all children?
Are they
all children?
All children. What?
But in Isaac shall thy seed be called.
The son of promise shall thy seed be called. 8.
That is,
mm-hmm.
they which are the children of the flesh.
You see why I went there and corroborated that? They which are the children of the flesh. Any old man, if he got a healthy young female, can produce a child. They which are of the flesh, what did it say next?
These are not the children of God.
These are not the children or chosen of God. Finish it.
But the children of the promise.
As Isaac was, God promised he was going to give him and his elderly wife a son. But the children of the promise are what?
Are counted for the seed.
We just read it in Genesis. Verse 9, Elder Liverman.
For this is the word of promise.
For this is the word of that promise, keeping on going according to Abraham's seed. Uh-huh.
At this time will I come.
Uh-huh.
And Sarah shall have a son.
Sarah will have a son. 10.
And not only this.
And not only that that was just spoken, but this also. What did it say?
But when Rebekah also had conceived by one.
But when Rebekah had conceived by one.
Even by our father Isaac.
Even by our father Isaac, that son of promise to those elderly parents. What?
For the children being not yet born.
For the children, now Rebekah was expecting twins. Same father, same mother. And what is it? Same egg that split? Same egg that split that caused twins. Same father, same mother, same egg that split. Same body that's carrying them and going to birth them. All right? Even when, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, the children not yet being born, what else?
Neither having done any good or evil.
They hadn't even breathed the first breath of earthly air. They had not done anything good nor bad. They wasn't born yet. How could they? What else, Elder? That the purpose of God. According to election.
Might stand.
Remain and might abide. Man. The purpose of God according to election. Two twins. Same mother and father, godly parents.
That's right.
God chose one and rejected the other.
Come on now.
And he's doing the same thing. This is our gospel.
Come on now.
He's doing the same thing in our midst now by manifestation.
Yes, he is.
All that are in God, children of God, have already been chosen, elected in eternity. What you have now is manifesting who those children that already been chosen really are. That's all that happened to you on the day that you say, I got saved. That's all that happened. It was disclosed who you really, really were. That you was elected of God. Read that verse 11 again, Elder.
For the children being not yet born. Neither having done any good or evil.
Good or evil.
That the purpose of God.
According
to election might stand. Not of works.
Wow.
But of him that called.
Wow. Hold it right there, Elder. What is it about not of works that God's people. I thought you were going to keep it that before you.
Come on now.
I ain't going to have nobody run out of here and say that those people think they're the only ones saved.
I hear you.
What is it that about not of works that God's people don't understand?
Come on, preacher.
Not of works. Not.
Yes.
It's not of works.
Yes.
Man.
Read on, Ella.
It was said unto her. The elder shall serve the younger.
It was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger.
As it is written.
As it is written, this one of the things I say might bite you.
Jacob have I loved.
Jacob have I loved.
But Esau have I hated.
But Esau have I hated. Now, I'm like most folk. I used to try to rationalize that and say, well, he ain't really hate him. He just loved him less.
Yeah.
I used to rationalize like most folk. Let me tell you something. I'm going to scripturally. I got about 12 more verses, 10 more verses in this chapter. I'm going to scripturally show you that God meant just what it was said right there. I looked this word up. I wanted to know, did it really mean he hated Esau?
Yes, Lord. Amen.
And you know what I found out? Yes, he did. And I'm going to show you scripturally. I'm going to give you the definition of the word right now.
Mm-hmm.
It means despised.
Amen.
It means disregarded. Mm. It means to be indifferent to.
Yes, Lord. Come on now.
That's what that word means. Now I'm going to show you that God truly have no fondness for certain ones. Because I know you don't believe it. I didn't believe it. You know what we say? God loves everybody. You know.
We're
going to see. Scripturally. Scripturally. Let's read on.
Jacob's going to have a love, but Esau's going to have a hate. Verse 14.
This is what we would usually come back with. What shall we say then?
Is there unrighteousness with God?
Uh-huh.
God forbid.
But the only thing is, we won't put a question mark behind ours. We'll put an exclamation point. If that is so, then God is unrighteous. We'll put an exclamation point, you know, line with the period under it. God is unrighteous. That's what we would say. All right. Read on, Elder Liberman.
What should we say then? Is there, God forbid? For he say to Moses.
For the Lord said to Moses.
I will have mercy. On whom I will have mercy.
On whomsoever I will have mercy.
And I will have compassion.
And I will have compassion.
On whom I will have compassion.
On whom I will have compassion. Read on.
So then. It is not of him that willeth.
It's not of him that wills or cares to or strive or wants to. And we don't anyway.
That's it.
It's not of him that will.
Or of him that runneth.
Nor of him. Let me read a definition for that word willeth. We got to corroborate and explain everything as we go, because we know that we have no illusions here at the Grace Gospel Church. We know that this doctrine is not accepted in 95% or more of Christendom, God's people. It's not. And probably 98% in this country.
That's it.
But I heard Pastor say he's getting calls from India, from Africa, you know, where they don't have go out and say, I wonder what car I want to drive today. And whether they say, and where they can't say, I wonder if I want to put money in my money market or in the CD. Yeah. Uh-huh. And where they can't go in the grocery store, and good gracious, those stakes seem high. But give me two of them.
Uh-huh.
In those countries. But there coming a time that we believe that this gospel of grace will be so relevant.
Have mercy.
But God has got to bring us down. Now, don't gawk at that. Look at the kingdoms before this one. Rome, mighty Rome. Babylon, mighty Babylon.
Oh, mercy.
Assyrian Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And each succeeding empire had to defeat and depose the one before it, all but the Roman Empire. So where are all these prosperous, mighty, flaunting nations? All right, Elder Liberman. All right, to will, it means so not only to will something, but to press on to action.
Mm-hmm.
Not only to have a will to do or for it, but to press on to action. So the Word of God is saying, in the choice of God, in salvation, it's not according to one that willeth or that press on to be saved. And we don't do it anyway. Read on, Elder Liberman.
For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same
person. No, back up and finish that other one, 16, Elder Liberman.
Okay. So then it is not of him that willeth.
It's not of him that willeth.
Nor of him that runneth.
Nor of him that runneth. Now, stop there a second. This word runneth means to run or walk hastily,
yes,
so as to accomplish. So same thing. Don't make no difference what we try, what we say, what we do, how wet we get, and whose name we get wet. Is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. Listen, when I was a younger man, I got baptized in almost every name it was.
Have mercy.
I was even baptized, and I'm not flaunting this. God knows I'm not. I was even baptized when I had a hangover the first time. Yes, I was. And that same morning, I had to get some more juice to kick off the hangover so I wouldn't be sitting in church, and was baptized. Baptism and any other ism-tism is not what saved you. God sovereignly elects, chooses those whom he wants to salvation. I don't care what tongue you get and say it's a bona fide tongue.
Oh,
I hear you.
None. Read on, Ella.
Oh,
for the scripture saith,
For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh.
But then that verse says it's of God that showeth mercy. It said unto Pharaoh.
Even for the same purpose.
Even for the same purpose.
Have I raised thee up.
Have I raised thee up. Now here's the purpose. Read it.
That I might show my power
in
thee.
That I might show my power in thee. Did not he defeat Pharaoh and his whole army and drown his army in the Red Sea? And they talked about that till kingdom come. That was the one thing that spread fear in our ancestors, Gentiles' hearts. When Israel was coming to take their land that God had promised them. The name Jehovah and what he had done to Pharaoh's army. Oh, my God. And they come in here. Even for the same purpose, raise thee up that I might show my power in thee and what?
And that my name might be declared through all the earth.
Yes. 18, elder.
Therefore, hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy.
God will have mercy on whomsoever he has elected, chosen, sovereignly chosen to have mercy.
Mm-hmm. And whom he will,
and
he hardeneth.
And whomever he has chosen to harden, elected to harden, he hardeneth. And they can never be saved or receive the gospel. Whatever dispensation it was, they can never. God has to choose. Is that sovereign choice or is it? Verse 19, Ella. Now here's what we'll say again. Now, we'll say this.
Thou wilt say then unto me.
Thou say then unto me.
Why doth he yet find fault?
If he choose who he wanna and reject who he wanna, we would say, the first thing we would say, why is he yet finding fault and holding me accountable for my sins and the like? Uh-huh. Read, Ellen.
For who hath resisted his will?
For who hath resisted his will? Indeed, the Lord has ordained all things. Listen, sidebar. In the decree of God, in God's one singular decree, the whole course of our lives have been set out. In God's single decree, he has placed us under Adam unto a sin nature, and that's why we have the can't help it, and I can't, and I did it, and oops, and so forth. And by the same, out of the same decree, he placed us under sinful nature, and also in his decree, he has eternally placed us that are his in the body of Christ. It was all in God's decree.
Yes.
And this is why we are sinners manifestly, and we are holy like the Lord without sin, unblameable in the body, spiritual body of Christ, placed there, baptized by the one Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
Read on, Ella.
Verse 20. Nay, but, O man.
All right.
Who art thou that repliest against God?
Against the Almighty Sovereign.
Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it?
Yep.
Why hast thou made me thus?
There it is. Why have you made me like this? Shall the thing that's made say to him that made it? Why you made me like this? God is sovereign. Here it is. Read it, Ella.
Verse 21, Hath not the potter power over the clay,
depicting God as a great potter, power over the clay,
of the same lump,
God had decreed all will of sin nature, every son of Adam, that means everybody, don't care what color your skin is or where you are geographically, everybody has a sin nature, but only those in Christ are holy and sanctified and separate. All right. Have not the potter power to claim clay of the same lump to what?
To make one vessel unto honor.
One vessel unto honor.
And another unto dishonor.
And another unto dishonor.
Verse 22. What if God? Willing to show his wrath.
Willing to show his wrath.
And to make his power known.
And to make his power known.
Endure it with much long suffering.
Endure it with much long suffering.
The vessels of wrath.
The vessels of wrath.
Fitted to destruction.
That were fitted to destruction, and that is the perfect tense and the passive voice. The perfect tense is a past completed action with the results coming down to the present.
Yes.
God did it in eternity. Therefore, when he brought them on the scene of life and creation, they couldn't help but be vessels of wrath.
Come on,
and
man.
Nothing else.
Come on now.
Ah, ooh, it's in the passive voice also.
Amen.
That means they didn't have anything to do with it. God did it.
Amen.
God did it. Anytime in the Greek language you see the passive voice, it means that you didn't do it. It was doeth unto you.
Amen. That's right.
You didn't do it.
Amen.
It was done to you.
That's it.
Passive voice. Vessels of wrath fitted. Perfect tense and the passive voice.
Amen.
Past completed action with the results coming right down to the present.
Right.
Amen.
Fitted. Fitted means adjusted. Fitted means finished.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord. Don't perspirate when I say this. Fitted means put in its appropriate position.
Amen.
Vessels of wrath.
Yes, sir.
The unsaved. The unchosen. The children not of God. Were put, made first, and put in that position by the Almighty Sovereign God,
mm-hmm.
that elects whomsoever He will,
yes,
and
right.
rejects whomsoever He will.
Amen.
That's right.
Read on, Elder Liberman.
Amen.
And after he did that, what else he did in 23?
And that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy.
That He did that He would make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy.
Amen.
Do you know that God even created opposition to Himself?
Amen.
Made the devil? He created that opposition.
Glory to God.
How you think sin got into God's creation? He decreed it in.
Amen.
How you think you get a sinful nature in time, in the earth, and yet you were placed holy from eternity in the body of Christ?
Amen.
He decreed it in.
Amen. Glory to God.
He decreed it in. Finish that, Elder Liberman.
Amen.
Which He shed before.
Yes.
Prepared unto glory.
Prepared unto glory.
Verse 1 and 4. Even us.
Even us.
Whom He hath called.
Whom He hath called.
Amen.
Not of the Jews only.
Not of the Jews only.
But also of the Gentiles.
We find that we Gentiles got a break too. Hallelujah. We didn't see it in the Old Testament. All we were doing is running and say, oh Lord, don't kill us. Why do you think Rahab let those spies in? She didn't want them. Ah! And the Lord had touched her heart. He had caused her to believe that they had the land.
Mm-hmm.
That the land was theirs. Even us whom He have called. That word kaleo means to call with a personal objective or purpose. God purposed them for destruction. I'm sorry, that's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
He purposed made them vessels of wrath for destruction and made us children of God of mercy for glory,
Amen.
Eternal glory.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
Amen.
I think I still got time, especially since it's closed. Flip one page in your Bible, you might be still on it. Elder Liberman, I won't get a chance to do but one corroboration in our gospel. Men say, you say the sinner's prayer, and we put all this value on what we think is our faith. It is not our faith. Elder Liberman, I'm going to have you read from the Greek interlineal text. We're going to Romans 10. We're going to take verse 5 through 13. Romans 10 and verse 5 through 13. Now we're going to militate, that is go against. I learned that. We're going to militate against the perceived notion and opinion in Christendom. That is our faith and it's our mouth that got to confess Christ, otherwise we can't be saved. Elder Liberman, when you're ready, begin at verse 5 of the 10th chapter of Romans. I was going to do another corroboration in 1 Corinthians 15, where it's talking about if you keep in memory, but we don't have time. We'll save that for another time. Amen. But now we'll do this one.
Romans chapter 10, beginning with the fifth verse.
Fifth verse.
For Moses writes, the righteousness of the law.
Moses described it, the righteousness which is of the law.
The doing man will live by it.
That the man which doeth those things shall live in them. This is in your Bible. All right, let me get with you, Elder, in the text here. All right, go ahead, Elder.
But the of faith righteousness thus says.
But the of faith righteousness thus saith.
Not saying in the heart of thee.
Not saying the heart of thee.
Who will ascend unto heaven?
Uh huh.
This is Christ to bring down.
This is Christ to bring down. And don't say that we're gonna ascend into heaven. That's already been done. Christ ascended into heaven. He seated at the right hand of the Father. Done. Finished. It ain't going to be done again. All right?
Well, who would descend into the...
Well, who's sending...
To the abyss.
Into the abyss?
This is Christ from the dead to bring up.
Ain't going to happen. It's done. It's finished. He done been crucified. Manifestly, Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world, but he been crucified on Calvary 2,000 years ago. Manifestly, he descended, or he was buried, and he resurrected, seated at the right hand of God. Not going to happen again. All right, read on, Ellen.
But what says it?
Uh-huh.
Near thee the word is.
Near thee the word is.
In the mouth of thee.
In the mouth of thee.
And in the heart of thee.
And in the heart of thee.
This is the word of faith.
Uh-huh.
Which we proclaim.
Or the word that belongs to faith because it's in the genitive case. All right? Yeah. Genitive case shows ownership or possession.
Amen.
All right. The word of faith, Paul said, which we proclaim. Not the word which the brethren came down from Jerusalem trying to preach to the Gentiles. Not that word. Paul got busy with them and almost chased them right back up into Jerusalem. They were saints of God, but they were under the kingdom dispensation, and they come down propagating, preaching the kingdom gospel. Paul said, get out of here with that. God has specifically designed, prepared for us in the grace dispensation, the gospel of the grace of God. Because he wanted us to know his eternal working. No other dispensation reached back into the annals of eternity and show God's work on their behalf. None. Adam didn't do it. Noah didn't. All he wanted to do was stay dry. Abraham didn't look back and see the eternal workings of God on his behalf, but we have it before us, and it's only in our gospel, and God wants us to be apprised of it. He wants it preached, he wants it propagated, and he wants grace to be instilled and inbreathed in our very spirits.
Amen.
Read on, Ella.
Hallelujah. Because if thou confess with the mouth.
All right. Because if thou confessest with the mouth.
Of thee, Lord Jesus.
The mouth of thee, the Lord Jesus.
And believest in the heart of thee.
And believest in the heart of thee.
That God him raised.
That God hath raised.
From the dead.
From the dead.
Thou wilt be saved.
Thou wilt be saved. Now, if thou confessest is what we call an aorist subjunctive. If you don't exegete these scriptures according to the threefold manner of Bible scrutiny, you will never understand and know what the Lord is conveying. You will have only to depend on traditional, religious, and denominational affiliated doctrine. That's all you have. You've got to exegete the Bible contextually, grammatically, and historically, if you want to get the thought conveyance of the Holy Spirit unto your spirit, you've got to do it. If you don't, you'll think it is and it ain't. You'll think it was and it will be, and you'll be all over the place. If thou confessest is what we call an aorist subjunctive.
Hallelujah.
The aorist tense, as I said earlier,
yes, is
a past completed action. It's done. It was done in eternity. All that remains of it is manifestation for us to see if God so deems to show it unto us. But it's done. Past completed action or past completed probability. All right, the probability is that we don't know who the elect of God is.
Well,
having this confidence that the Lord knoweth them that are his. So it's an aorist subjunctive. Now, confession can only be made by the recipient of faith in time. When you were already, what did it say about the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory? God had in eternity afore prepared us unto glory. We were, you came here saved, if you saved. You were saved in eternity.
Have mercy.
Amen.
Your confession or anything else, your believing, is not out of you. God has to give that. All right, read on, Ella. Mm-hmm. And believes in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead.
Thou wilt be saved.
Thou wilt be saved.
For with the heart one believes unto righteousness.
For with the heart one believes to righteousness.
With the mouth confesses to salvation.
With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Everything here is manifestation. Manifestation. It means to disclose or to show openly. That's all this is. You were saved. Remember what I said? We were afore prepared unto glory. And some were fitted afore unto destruction. The aorist tense carries all throughout our gospel. Will we ignore it? No. I don't care if 1,000, 100 million ignore it. We exegete this scripture not denominationally, not organizationally, but we exegete it scripturally. Exegete means to dig out the intended thought conveyance that the Holy Spirit has given. Amen. Finish that up, Elder.
Hallelujah. For he says to every scripture, everyone believing on him, will not be put to shame.
Will not be put to shame.
For there is no difference of Jew, of both and Greek. The for same Lord of all is rich to all the ones calling on him. Everyone for whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Will be saved. And that up there in verse 11 is not whosoever. For the scripture saith in the King James, whosoever, that is not whosoever. That Greek word is singular. And it means everyone of a kind. And the word next to it, believeth, is in the present tense. The one or everyone believing on him shall not be ashamed. It's a shame, not be ashamed, is a future passive. It means that you don't do it. It's an indicative future. That means that it's a fact. You can't have a future fact excepting through God's decree. That's the only way you can have a future definitely, no doubt about it, absolutely, it's going to happen just like that. You can't have that. All we can do is make plans, make promises, make appointments, and all the like, and most of the time, our plans, our promises, our appointments don't go down like we think. But the Almighty Sovereign God, amen, who created all things for his will, plan, and purpose,
yes,
he can call things that be not as we to see them, be not manifestly, as though they actually are by his decree.
That's right.
God created and ordained all things. Every event in your life and mine, every circumstance, every activity in our lives. Listen, I say this and I'm closing. Pastor taught us you exegete the scriptures, then you explicate the scripture, that is, explain them, and then you go to your seat. But I was at work one time when I was still working at Ford, and I was sharing with a coworker of mine about how that I wish that I had gotten a buyout and how that my money had diminished since the company was on bad times and everything. And I had been telling them all about this, the will of God, and and everything is ordained of him in your life and everything. You know what they threw back at me? God ordained it. I hushed. Say, Lord, your will be done. God bless you, son.